Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host for the day, Josh Brown, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
And Ash Millman.
Hello.
And because we really miss getting the interaction now that we have moved to audio-only podcasts, we are going to do a special little episode on the questions you guys have sent in using the hashtag WCGP. I always get those letters mixed up every single time on Twitter and on YouTube because, you know what, we like the interaction and we miss it, and I miss it. I miss the negative comments, I'm not going to lie.
Oh,
I just like comments of any kind. I like to know that I exist in this world. Ash, we've got a great one to start, which is, you know, specifically for you from StarkHunter49, who says, who did Ash main when she played Evolve? Coming from a fellow Evolve lover.
Well, I'm glad that it's coming from a fellow Evolve lover and not the angry Evolve haters that there are plentiful out there in the world. But I always used to try for the Monster because Monster is the best way to play Evolve, which would be the Wraith because it was the most OP one as well.
Which one was that? Like, I can't remember. I don't know anything about Evolve, so you're going to have to explain it to me. Because I always thought it looked really cool to play as the monster, but I heard it was very hard to actually get, you know, in as the
same here.
Beast.
I was, like, always Evolve curious, but I'm never putting money down for this. After being a big fan of Left 4 Dead, I was like, I want to see what they're doing next, but I'm not spending money on this.
Even when it went free to play, I was like, the time's passed. I don't want to give this a go.
I came into it when it was free to play. I got it from, I think it was one of the Xbox Monthly games or something. Mm. Like, it came around in a
Game
way.
Pass.
Like it's in there for Games with Gold. Games Pass good, but I think it's Games with Gold. I think. I got it on there for free anyway when I found it. But I used to try and always play the monster because it's a four people versus the monster. And you have a team of four, which is assault, support, medic, and a trapper. And then you have monsters, which is the Goliath, the Behemoth, the Wraith, the Gorgon, and the Kraken, and I think there's a variant of the Kraken as well. And you obviously make a team together and then pitch them against the big monster. Playing as a monster was always the best one, but everybody wants to be the monster, so you have to just go through so many matches doing that. But yeah, always tried to main Wraith when I unlocked that, and then otherwise it was the Trapper, because trapping monsters is also fun. We had to hunt them down and get them with your net. I can't say I was any good at it, but I really enjoyed it. I love the game.
Well, this is the thing, Ash, because I was really intimidated by the community for Evolve, because it seemed like a very... Like, if you didn't play your role in that game, were just a waste to the entire team. I don't want to disappoint people, which is what put me off.
There's so many people who don't know what that... I've got heated thinking about it. Because when you go into a team and you have a trapper who doesn't know how to trap, that is the most annoying... This is why I took it on, because I was like, I've got... So your silent sneezing is really popping
me. I'm so sorry.
Josh has just bent over and sneezed, like, shuddering into his own body.
I was really wondering what was going on. I was like, is he crying?
I did my very best, you know, not draw attention to it. Go off the mic, do a little sneeze. And you guys are like, what's he doing? And you just draw attention to him. You did.
Look, it's podcast hump day. Father Telford's not here.
Telford's not here. We can do whatever we want. The kids can have fun. That's what this essentially is. That sounds lovely, Ash. I might get it one day.
You can't anymore because the servers are gone off. You have to play with bots. But yeah, this is the thing. At least playing with bots means that you can have reliable people. Someone who doesn't know how to do medic, someone who doesn't know how to do trapper just spoils the whole thing. You can't do it. You don't know how to trap, don't play the trapper.
Is the trapper the person that put the big giant bubble down, or is that someone else?
Yeah, okay. You throw the dome and it keeps them in there and you have to go and fight and stuff and follow the footsteps and all that sort of thing.
It looks really awkward to like traverse the environment. From the limited things I did watch, it always seemed really dark and just like loads of just climbing over things. Like imagine like Death Stranding, but really dark.
It depends on the map. It depends on the map you're in. I'm not laughing at this because it was very serious.
Yes.
You know, it depends on the map you're in. Some of them were lots of climbing. Some of them were lots of like open bits as well. It depends because you need somewhere for the monsters to hide. So
Ben Roy, that might be the worst description of Evolve I've ever heard. Like Death Stranding, but dark. What does that even mean?
You know when they turn the lights out, you know? you know when the sun goes down, because it's never nighttime in that game.
Of course. Can you give us our next question, please?
Yes, this one comes from Sean Wilson. It is, have you ever been genuinely scared at like the release of a sequel of a great game? I've just changed the words around because I read that how I want.
Paraphrasing, yes. It's called. Yeah, very good.
Hashtag WCGP.
Yes, please use that hashtag. Yes. It's lonely at the moment. I don't know about you guys, for me personally, but The Last of Us 2 is upcoming, and I am very worried about that. But if... going back to one that I did love, it was Mass Effect 2, because I loved Mass Effect 1. And I remember reading back when magazines were a thing about that game being 24 hours long. And at the time, I was a little child, and the concept of games being longer than about 8 hours, so this would take a whole day to finish, blew my mind. And then I finally got it, loved it, thought the story ended on such a, you know, satisfying cliffhanger of the Reapers, you know, about to come. I heard great things about Mass Effect 2, and I was so worried that game would disappoint. But fortunately, it's the best game of all time. So yeah, it worked out quite well.
It fully is. No, but I also have upcoming sequel fear, which is the next Elder Scrolls, because of Bethesda's obviously their track record at the moment with Fallout 76. Even with Fallout 4, after Fallout 3 not being quite as good, Skyrim obviously amazing and has followed on from Oblivion really well. But Oblivion was always my favourite one, so Skyrim was a relief. And then the next one, I just feel like they're not going to keep it up. Like, it's their best IP. It's their perfect IP. Please, please, look after it.
You know what the worst part about games like that, though, I think, is that you're going to have to wait so long for an Elder Scrolls 7. We already have going to wait so long for an Elder Scrolls 6. So the expectation behind it is so ridiculous. Like, the expectation is going to be that you're going to be playing this Elder Scrolls for almost a decade afterwards. Oh, yes. So if it's not good, what are you going to do for two decades, Ash?
I don't know. Nothing. Honestly, just cry and weep about, I don't know what to do. I think about it, it makes me really sweaty because I want the science game. I was going to Starfield.
Starfield.
Yeah. I just want to double check. I'm getting saying, I don't want to say like Starcraft and be like, yes, when Bethesda makes Starcraft, Star Wars, Star Trek. But Starfield coming up, I'm fine with that being crap because it's a new IP. So I don't think it will be, and I'm excited for it still. But if they mess up that one, that's fine. They're starting off on the back foot. It can only get better. But if they go downhill with Elder Scrolls, they're just like crapping in their hands and clapping. It's just like,
As long as they let me collect all the cabbages and then let them go and let me break the frame rate, I'll be happy with the next game.
As long as they don't punish me for killing chickens. Sorry.
I was worried about Gears 4, you know.
And really?
I was right to be, because it wasn't the best Gears game. But then, like, and Gears 5, but Gears 5 won me back over. But I can't not say The Last of Us 2. Like, to me, that is the quintessential best game ever made. Mm. And sure, it's not the most perfect of gameplay sometimes, but I just love it. I just love The Last of Us so much, and it's so dear in my heart.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to, like... I have faith in Neil Druckmann and everyone else there at Naughty Dog. I don't want to just take what is almost perfect and taint the story.
Mm. Well, that's it. I mean, when The Last of Us 2 was announced, I think it was genuinely surprising because the first game ends in such a... It's such a great conclusion to that game, and it doesn't really necessarily need a sequel. Yeah. It's that back and forth when you have anything, you know, creative, any sort of potential franchise. It's, does anything really need a sequel? A lot of people said that about Solo, A Star Wars Story, and you don't really need to tell that story, but it existing isn't inherently a bad thing. It's a weird line to draw, I think.
I'm here for it now, and I've come around a bit more to it. But if they do something like, say, take Joel away from me before the game, like if he's dead when we come into this game, like some people, oh, he's a ghost. Nah, we're not having any of that. He's got to be alive, and you can kill him off in the game, but I need Joel there for a bit.
Ooh, ghosty Joel would be,
It's that first trailer where Ellie's playing the guitar in the room. Is like, what are you doing, kiddo? See, I can't do a Troy Baker voice because Troy Baker's phenomenal. But yeah, just I don't know. There's so much emotional baggage and weight. I just need that game to be amazing. I'm sure it will be, but I'm scared.
Ash, what do you think about Ghost Joel? You did a bit of a shudder there, because I quite like the idea of him being dead in a way, or at least being around. Just dropping Harrison Ford quotes here. I love it. I would like him to be a force ghost, I'm not going to lie. But Ash, what about you?
Oh, I think it would work. I don't know what to think about this game at all. It frightens me. It frightens me that it's being made, because The Last of Us is such like a seminal, interesting, engaging, wonderfully crafted piece of goodness. Knowing that a second one's coming at all is just worrying, and then thinking that they're messing with such big characters and such big parts of the first game by starting them off dead would be... I agree with Benroy that I don't think it's particularly the best idea. I think killing them off in the game so you see that have that emotional impact, if that's going to happen, all right, but don't begin with Force Ghost Joel.
Yeah, I do think, I will clarify that, my theory and the theory of a couple other people that I've seen on the old forums, because I love being in forums like a little nerd again. I moved away from them and I like getting invested in the story. But yeah, I think the general idea is that the death that sparks Ellie off on this quest for revenge is going to be a sort of bait and switch, so we get Joel dying early in the story, and then it goes from there.
So I think Ellie's girlfriend is going to die, and then I think Ellie goes on this quest, and you know how we get the switch, and spoilers for Last of Us, by the way, sorry if you're listening to this, but you know how you switch to Ellie for a bit when Joel falls on the spike. I think we're going to get that little bit of Joel, like mid to late, and then we're going to go back to Ellie, and then I think they're going to get a whole game out of Joel.
Yeah.
But I think they're basically going to turn it around where Ellie's on this quest. Maybe we've not seen anyone else bar Ellie and her girlfriend like having the joint. And then also we know Joel's going to be back. And Tommy's
back, yeah.
I think it's going to be Joel and Tommy going after, not going after, but like trying to track her down.
Yeah, I think that'll be a nice sort of way to split the perspectives, I think. Because you have to assume, just because of the way the first was structured, that you will play Joel at some point, and I hope it's quite a good sequence. However, this question that we've just been asked fits nicely to the next one. Ash, could you do the honours?
And peeping at it would be my answer again.
Peeping.
So from James O'Brien, are there any video games that you love so much that you didn't want a sequel because the original was near perfect and did everything it wanted to?
Yes.
Which is what we've just spoke about.
The Last of Us.
James O'Brien's examples is that he has said he's felt this with movies like Hot Fuzz, etc., but never really thought about it in terms of games before.
That's a great shout, by the way. Edgar Wright keeps threatening to make a Hot Fuzz sequel, and I don't want that at all. Just keep that, you know.
The Cornetto cinematic universe is going to get bigger.
I wouldn't mind that. I do agree that, The Last of Us for me was the biggie. Other than that, Bully? I think Bully was a product of its time, and I think it worked well back then, but I don't know how you could make a sequel. And from all the reports that we've had from Rockstar about them trying to, struggling to kind of find a creative vision for a follow-up, I think it's sort of testament to the fact that that game is great, but it worked very well in the context of release, and I don't know how you would do it today.
I'm going to say, have you ever heard of or played the Conflict Desert Storm games?
Benroy, I used to play those with my dad.
I used to play them with my mum's boyfriend. Aww. So yes, I used to sit there in co-op. Love the first one. Love the second one. Second one's a bit choice, that the fact that a Gulf War was going on at the time when they released this. Mm. And then Global Storm, did you ever play that one?
I can't remember, maybe.
So that was like the third game, and one of the four of the team gets killed, you think. And you find at the end of Global Storm that no, indeed, Foley's alive. And you never find out. But then I don't think that this game would work today.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted... Young Benroy has always wanted to know ever since like 2002, whenever this was, 2004.
I love that. Young Benroy's got some unfinished business with Conflict Desert Storm.
Yeah. And it won't work.
No.
I mean, it just won't now. And they were really weird, I'm going to call it outdoor corridor shooters, because you know when you go through the jungle environments, but it's pretty much just one sort of corridor of just a few trees and a bit of bushes. I don't know how it'll be an openly more world squad thing, but it'll be online and it'd be probably like Breakpoint and be rubbish.
Well, Benroy, this actually fits in with the next question from Crooked Jack, who says, one for the podcast. Just wondering which games that never got a sequel would you love to see again? For me, I'd give anything, 40 to £60 for follow-ups to Jet Force Gemini and Conker's Bad Fur Day and Blast Corps.
Left 4 Dead.
Yes, Benroy, yes.
I put a whole summer into Left 4 Dead 1 with my friend. And we got all the achievements, even doing everything on the hardest difficulty. You had to use a few exploits. Like back in the day, there was one called the Jesus Tree, where there'll be a tree you'd go up against and you'd float up it and the zombies couldn't get you while you're waiting for the boat to come.
Brilliant.
But I have to just tell this story. I've been waiting to tell this story forever.
Come on.
The last, it was Blood Harvest, the farmhouse. Do you remember that sort of bit? Mm-hmm. Zombies come in everywhere. We're playing in insane mode. And they up the damage on the zombies. So if they hit you once, it's 10 health. Obviously, you have 100 health. So if you get hit, if you get surrounded, you're gone instantly. We finally do this after weeks.
Oh, I'm enjoying weeks. The build up here.
Yeah. The big old APC is coming around, the armored personnel carrier. And we make the run for it. Zombies are coming everywhere. Very tension, early days of Xbox Online. And I get into the APC. My friend gets cornered off. There's some zombies there. A tank's coming. I just killed him. I just murdered him and muted my microphone as he swore at me. And as I laughed and as I drove away in the APC and got the nice little achievement and got the full gamer score.
Well, aww. You know what? This isn't actually a question in the ones we received, but if we did have the question, who would you want to be around when the zombie apocalypse inevitably happens? Yeah. You were not high on my list, Ben Roy.
You're quite low, actually.
Yeah.
For someone who knows so much about zombies and has so much knowledge on the zombie apocalypse that is going to happen, then to be so low is quite impressive.
I will preface this. It was like, was the season 2 of The Walking Dead, Otis, when he shoots him and kills him? It was kind of like that, but I did go back and I did help him get the achievement eventually.
Murder is still murder, mate.
I know.
Murder is still murder.
But yes, sorry about that tangent. But yes, Left 4 Dead. I want to have a Left 4 Dead, please.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
good
been
choice.
Long overdue, way long overdue. Just give me it. Valve, do something with
Valve doing more sequels would just be good at all, really, wouldn't it?
That's a good one. That's the answer to this. It's just Valve, do more sequels. Ben Roy, what have we got next?
So this comes in from Neil and it is, you can only play one game console for the rest of your life. What do you choose? # WCGP.
Interesting.
One game console?
Yeah.
Or one game on one console?
It's one game on one console.
Yes.
There we go. Changes it.
Changes the game, someone said.
Changes the game. I tried to say, no, don't do the joke.
Well, for me, I reckon probably like Left 4 Dead or might be even more.
Just on the mind now.
Might just even go to more recent memory. Just Gears 5. Just play that over and over again, horde mode.
Oh, this is, you would, wouldn't you?
100 hours in on horde mode so far. Let's go, son. Let's go.
Madness. Ash, what do you think?
I think it would have to be Xbox One because I love it. I don't know. I kiss it. I love my Xbox.
Do you have the big VCR or do you have the newer one?
I have an Xbox, the S. So not an X.
So Phil Spencer, not Don Matrick.
No. But it's nice and it's shiny. I look after it.
That's good.
I polish it.
Yeah, you kiss it.
But yeah, I kiss it. I make out my Xbox. When it comes to the nighttime, I kiss my Xbox. But I would want to play an open world game. Now, first of all, I've got two choices here. So sorry, Neil, but I've got two choices. One would be Red Dead Redemption 2, because I played it for the story and I didn't do all the extra fun stuff that I could have done. And that game is so long and so slow and so measured, I feel I could really get a lot of hours out of it and enjoy playing it. And then you get to have the online component as well. I feel like that's like a good forever game if you get stuck with one. But personally, the one I'd want to choose and have put much more time into, this is what puts me off because I put much more time into it and I've seen so much of it, would be The Witcher 3, because there is so much in there and so much story and different ways of crafting how your path plays out, but I've seen so much of it, I'm like, oh, I probably should go for a different one. But yeah, Witcher 3, because you can just play Gwent endlessly forever.
That is true, actually. Mine would be Red Dead, but for a similar reason, because even though the story of that game is so good, and I've actually recently replayed it, there is so much time you could just spend messing around. Yep. I could spend hours and hours, hundreds of hours, just fishing in that game because it's so relaxing and it's so nice. And playing poker, just like playing Gwent, I think it's anything you do in that game is set against the backdrop of this lush Old West setting. And it just makes it really comforting and satisfying and rewarding.
Oh, and there's all the weird spooky stuff as well, like seeing the aliens and the zombies. Going and finding that would be good for Red Dead. Yeah, I think Red Dead would be the big choice.
If you asked me this 5 years ago, I probably would have said Minecraft.
Oh, good choice. Yeah. Good choice. Build an empire, Ben Roy.
I did.
I haven't played it yet, but Dreams sounds perfect for this as well. Yes. Dreams on the PlayStation 4.
Make anything, play anything.
Yeah, as long as you have an imagination, which admittedly I do not, you could get endless amounts of content from that. Ash, what is our next cue?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Oh, what is our next cue? So this is from Abby, and it says, what is your favourite indie game of this console generation?
Hard this, you know. I actually had a cheeky look at this beforehand and tried to get a shortlist, and I couldn't.
Oh my God, I actually... Of this generation?
Of this generation.
That's such... Oh my God, that's actually really throwing me. I've just started playing A Plague Tale, Innocence. Ooh. I'm really enjoying that. So yes. That's probably top... Because it's so fresh in my mind, that would be... That that counts, doesn't it? Indie game. It's,
yeah.
It looks very AAA, but it's I'm really enjoying it.
Well, it's sort of in that same
mid-tier,
kind of
AA,
yeah, so. Like the library of Hellblade. I was going to say that Hellblade, which has AAA looking visuals and production design, but it's very much an indie game produced by an independent studio. So I think that holds up. Have you finished it?
Plague Tale.
Yes,
I haven't finished it yet. No, cool. I've just started it like this week. I'm plowing through it. I'm fighting off the rats and stuff. I'm very much enjoying it. It's wonderful.
The atmosphere is so good. I think you like that a bit more than I did, Ben. Right, but it's a solid game.
It was in my top 10 of last year. I think like number 7. I would either go with that or maybe even recent memory. I'm forgetting it now. It is that roguelike that I was playing last year.
Oh, Void Bastards.
Void Bastards, yes.
Oh, there we go.
Void Bastards in recent memory has been something that just made me laugh and made me get back into wanting to sort of run that sort of gauntlet again. But I'm also going to cheat and say Spelunky was put on PS4, so I'm going to pick Spelunky.
I'll let you have it. I mean, there's no real rules to this except from the ones we've been sent in. But yeah, that's a huge shout. For me, I don't know. It would probably be something like What Remains of Edith Finch or Gone Home, I think, was this generation. Something along those lines. Maybe Firewatch, maybe Soma. Any kind of walking simulator that's released in the past 7 years, I'm all for.
Death Stranding.
Death Stranding's not an indie game, Ben Roy.
It is a big walking simulator.
It's a big walking simulator.
It is just walking.
Kojima Productions is an independent studio.
I'm not giving you that at all. Not at all. What's our next question, Ash? I can't remember.
I've just read one.
I know. I need to look at
it. It's the bottom one.
It's the bottom one from Nathan Dean Brown, who says, hey, What Culture Gaming. Hey, Nathan Dean Brown. What do you lovely people think about save scumming? If a game has 5 endings and the point of no return decision is made hours before credits, should you replay the entire thing to see them all? What if you're going for the platinum? Is it cheating?
I do this, and I did this with Bloodborne. I got all the endings, and I only did one playthrough. Ha 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 ha.
I think this is actually fine. You know what? It depends what happens, right? It depends how you do it. If it comes to sort of decisions, I think it's a bit wrong if you're in a story-driven game where you have to make choices in the narrative to return to an older save if it doesn't turn out how you like, because you should live with your consequences. But if you're going for a completionist run, if you're going for platinum trophies, I think it's fine. There's only so much time in the world, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And also with that, that was a bit more work because I had to upload the save to the cloud, do it, and then bring it back down and sort of like back it up to make sure it did.
Because it was difficult, it counts.
Yeah. Also,
yeah. My hard life.
XCOM, RCF scum the hell out of that. I'm not losing anyone. Everyone's going to come out alive. Everyone's going
to
win.
I love a safe scum. Yeah. I do it with narrative choices. And I used to. Okay. When I played The Walking Dead through the first time, this was back in the day when I was a young and foolish gamer, I used to just be like, oh, actually, I've changed my mind. I don't like that. Oh, he's going to cut his arm off. Now,
I turned it off at one point because I accidentally made the wrong decision in number two.
Yeah.
I was like, no! And just shut up the console and then...
Yeah, so it couldn't say. Yep. Yeah, no, yeah. Yep. I've done it. I used to do that a lot just to see the different outcomes and then decide which one I like the most as well, which is bad. It's bad, bad practice and I wouldn't do it now. And I played through them again and stuck with my consequences. And it's much more fun that way because you get a proper tense experience. But I think completionist runs absolutely save scum. Just get all your achievements and trophies and stuff. You can do the whole thing again and you'll enjoy it more if you just want to do it again. But if you're just doing it to get trophies, you might as well.
Yeah.
On the topic of platinums, going for the Last of Us platinum right now, there's a nice little glitch where you can play the game on whatever difficulty you want. And then, obviously, New Game Plus, you have to do... It makes you think what you have to do. But no, you can play on easy and then switch it to Survivor. There's a little glitch. Gonna do that.
Well, Benroy, funny you should say, because I was going to talk about the trophy that I least deserve, and that's from Uncharted 4. I think it's... You have to complete the game in about 6 hours. And obviously, I didn't have time for that when I'm rushing around for the Platinum and I just complete it. And there was...
You Platinum 4?
When I did it... I platinum for you.
Wow.
At the time, you could start the game and then I think quit and go right to the very last level and do it, and it would count as a completion, and it worked. I think they patched it out, but I just slipped in there and got the platinum, and I was so satisfied. It came at the very end of a long day, and I thought, I don't deserve this, but I'm going to take it anyway.
Yeah, you found the workaround. That's your reward.
I like
you
know? This. I'm here for that.
That was really good. Benroy.
Cheating. We all endorse it.
You know what? Do what you love. That's what I'm going to come down on. Yeah. Benroy, our next question.
Bernsey Lad has got a question for us. So I got a question for everyone. Other than a game that you just play with a controller or a keyboard or a mouse, what's your favorite non-traditional game to play? So he's got some examples, Lego Dimensions, goes on about the Lego games a bit, Rock Band, SingStar, iToy, God, I remember that,
iToy,
Skylanders, and other things like that. So I remember playing iToy. I liked iToy. Completed that in a Blockbuster.
Nice.
Just went into the Blockbuster for 2 hours. Just played it.
Really?
At the stand.
Oh my god! You played it on like the demo version.
Yeah, it was just there, so I just played it.
I love this.
How are you not kicked out?
Same reason when I went to Waterstones and read The Walking Dead for years for free.
That's
and
mad.
Just sat in the Waterstones on the sofa.
Is that a real life? I don't condone this, but is that a real life, like a real life hack?
Yeah, right. I guess so. If there's a sofa there to read it, I will look at the lovely art. I'm going to do that. But iToy, yeah.
Did you cheat on that as well? Remember the washing the windows one where you could just put your hand over the little camera?
Of course I did.
And then win. Because I used to do that and my family used to hate. Of course you did, Ben.
Yeah, why not?
I never did that.
Or SingStar, the old... and you didn't need to sing. You could just get your voice to the right level.
What is the fun in this, guys?
I don't know.
You aren't gamers. You're cheaters. No, I used to love iToy. iToy was single-handedly inspired me to start playing the ukulele because of the When I'm Cleaning Windows song.
So good. That is such a good story, man.
I used to play that all the time. My little thing would be like, oh, pop out the iToy, sing along. Like, I used to love it.
I can picture you at a party popping out the ukulele at about 2 a.m.
George
you know,
Formby on.
Yeah. Doing Cleaning Windows song. Yeah. That's amazing.
We used to have house parties, you'd say, like, I'd have friends over, like, say, 4, 5, 7 friends over.
Sleepovers, Ben Roy. You can call them sleepovers.
I'm trying to think of what age you'd call it, because it wasn't really a party. It was just the only friends over, and there was alcohol, and then there was SingStar, and we'd just play SingStar until, like,
just
2 in the morning.
Just going, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. I wouldn't cheat then. I would cheat when my sister was playing, just to be her.
Yeah. You know what? I respect that more.
Yeah, destroy your siblings. Yeah. But, yeah, I think SingStar for this, even though it's kind of dead.
I never really got into anything like SingStar or Just Dance, because I was always too insecure about what it sounded like.
It's not unusual, and Enjoy the Silence, my jam.
Speaking of music things, though, mine would be Guitar Hero.
Of course.
You know, playing Guitar Hero with your friends on sleepover nights. I was on the drums or on the bass. I used to pretend to be Scott Pilgrim and play the bass all the time on Expert because it was slightly easier than guitar, and I looked cooler, and I tried to impress people with it, and nobody was ever impressed.
Right now, I'm not impressed hearing about it.
I tried to, you know, it's been a few years. I come on the podcast, try to tell you guys and everyone listening, and still nobody's impressed, and I'm really upset.
Still no.
That's sad.
But no, just we count, because I really liked playing recently the House of the Dead 2 and 3 like re-release on the Wii with the attachable gun that you could stick the Wii remote into and pretend that you're firing at the screen. That was great.
Give the 2 Resident Evil light gun games a go. If you get the, what are they called? The move controllers.
Yes.
But you need the cameras on, unfortunately. Borrow Josh's move controller.
iToy 2.0.
Yeah, just get an iToy. Bring back the iToy.
That's the takeaway thing from this podcast so far. Just get an iToy. Yeah. Or, barring that, go back in time, go to a Blockbuster, spend 2 hours there and complete the game.
Yeah. Also, never play the Kinect in real life, sir. Just never been near one.
I've never played the Kinect in real life.
I have a Kinect.
Oh, bless you. Because you got a bloody Xbox, that's why, isn't it? Ash, you love Xbox. Do you love the Kinect?
No, I never liked the Kinect. I never liked the Kinect. There was one point where, we used to, my dad used to set up like Xbox parties, where you just do the talking through it. But he'd go and do something when he would go and do it. But like the sound comes through the Kinect. So he'd go off to go paint or something, be like, oh, I'll set up his party, see if anybody joins, and then come back, forget that he left it on. And I'd be sitting in the living room talking to my mom, and voices would start coming from it, like emerging from the Kinect. And I was like, what the hell? I thought it was haunted. Like,
we date the Kinect a bit more. I like that one Paranormal Activity film where they use the Kinect as a way to see ghosts.
Oh, that was good, though.
I forgot all about that.
The Kinect is a wholesome device.
Not sure
that is terrible
true.
And I hate.
And they're in landfills now.
The Kinect is haunted, and that's why they got rid of them. Ash, what is our next question?
So from Jake Collinson, WCGP, without going for the obvious choices for which games to be made into movies, which ones would you choose and why? Personally, I'm pleasantly surprised that no one has tried their hand what would be a hilarious take with Tetris the movie.
Where's Rich?
Rich, I know. He's going to go bursting in.
Bloody love that. I don't know. I do want to see this Uncharted movie that's in production. Mm. I used to always think I wanted a Metal Gear Solid film, and now I've decided that I really don't want a Metal Gear Solid film because I don't know how you can do that in the cinematic universe.
I still want a Sly Cooper film. I still want Sly Raccoon committed to celluloid. That's what I want.
Weren't they going to do one, Ash? I'm sure after the release of the Ratchet & Clank animated film, they were going to do a Sly Cooper movie, and I don't think it got off the ground.
And then it got turned into a TV series, and then it's just all been left floating in the air.
Every game's in pre-production hell.
Yeah.
None obvious. It's really weird. I might just say, you know, there's a little indie game on Xbox Indie. I can't remember what the even function of it was, but I made a game with zombies in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's my quirky, weird one.
Mm. Would you change the title to I Made a Movie with Zombies in It?
Of course.
Cool.
But I think just give me a Gears of War film.
Yes.
And give me Dave Bautista as Marcus Fenix. Yeah. Also, if you've played the Halo 2 Remastered or whatever they're calling it, those cutscenes are the best cutscenes I've ever seen. Like, that's literally a movie at this point. They're super photorealistic. Give me a kind of Halo, probably a Halo series at this point, but Gears movie, Halo series. Give me what I want, Batista as Marcus Fenix.
I concur. I'd also like to see a BioShock film.
Yes,
of some
sort. That was
with less
to
combat.
It was, yeah.
No drones and less combat.
With no drones.
And a better ending.
I'm going to talk to Ash now. I'm going to turn my back on you. Ash, what do you think about a BioShock movie?
I think that would be great. I'd love to see a BioShock movie, but what I'd like to see more, because it's so long, and Ben Roy will probably back me here, is Death Stranding as a movie. Because
yes.
It's all cutscene anyway.
Yeah.
So you might as well just stitch it all together and deliver it.
Did you ever see the last hour and a half cutscene?
I am saving myself for it. I've heard snips and bits, and I'm just every bit I learn of Death Stranding, I just enjoy. I enjoy thinking about it for a while and then going
away. I'm back on the Caro Network. I've almost got that platinum.
Cool. Is it Sam Lake giving you some trouble at the
Sam
minute?
Sam Lake won't let me court him. I keep coming over there, like giving him some stuff. Like, oh, no, no. And then he sends me an email. I have to read it and go and see him once and then walk away. Sam Lake, just come on. Just give me Alan Wake 2 and just let's get on the Caro Network together.
Speaking of Alan Wake, I'd love to see that as either a TV show or a movie. That would be cool.
Every time I think of Alan Wake, I think of Alone in the Dark, and I enjoyed the Alone in the Dark game. I did not enjoy the Alone in the Dark film. Apparently enjoying the Alone in the Dark game is a bad take. But
what?
According to someone in this office, I remember someone getting very angry with me.
Probably Scott.
No, I don't even think it was Scott. I can't remember.
Which Alone in the Dark game are we talking about? All of them, or just
the first one?
Yes,
not the 360 one.
Yes, I don't know. No, the one where you go through the city and it's all like collapsing.
I think
that's the Xbox one.
Yeah.
Not the one with the weird art style where it's all kind of primary colors and they're just
The bad like the Xbox one definitely.
I've got one for you. Come on, Resident Evil.
Right, let's move on to our final question of the day from Paul McGovern, who says, what is your most anticipated game coming out during this stacked March-April period?
Oh, well, it was Cyberpunk 2077.
Of course.
But that's gone, so nothing.
So nothing. You're going to just play nothing out of spite. It's like, look, if you take this away from me, I'm going to throw a tantrum and not play it. I kind of feel your pain there.
Yeah, I think you guys will agree it's Resident Evil 3 that I'm most looking forward to.
Yes.
Maybe, Resident Evil. Of course it's Resident Evil 3. Jill Valentine, Jill Sandwich, but just no video games and no video games make Ben Roy something.
We've only got a month left.
I'm going insane. I'm going to finish every game I've never played by the time this comes out. But Doom looks okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Doom looks great. Sorry, it looks great. Don't kill me. But Resident Evil 3, come on.
Well, Resident Evil 3
that's
is...
That's exciting, isn't it? Okay, good. Yeah. I was like, I thought you were come on.
I know, I couldn't tell whether you were sort of turning heel on Resident Evil there before my very eyes.
No, of course not.
I think, Resident Evil 3 is the biggie. I'm really interested in Final Fantasy VII Remake just because I haven't played the original, so I want to see how that turns out. But I've never been a huge fan of that franchise purely because I've never had an in.
Yeah, that makes sense. But that it's number 7 always threw me because I was like, oh, it's number 7. I can't play 6 games before this comes out and then realize they're all separate stories. I was like, you probably should play
I'm curious, but I probably won't play it.
Really?
Yeah.
Not even out of, because there's a drought happening.
I'll be doing the platinum in Resident Evil 3, won't I?
Gosh, well, cheating to get the platinum.
I don't cheat Resident Evil games, I'll have you know.
I'm sure you don't. I'm pretty sure you did for 2.
No.
No?
No, I watched people and looked up routes, of course, but I had to do it myself.
I'm impressed either way. I'm just excited for this. I'm excited for new games. Yeah. I've been playing Red Dead Redemption 2, and that's lovely, but I want
every
something
time I go
new.
I want to see you in the bottom playing Red Dead Redemption 2 at the bottom of the screen.
He's lost in the Old West. I'm lost in some horrible American future.
to be fair, actually, you've used this period to catch up on some quite good games, like Horizon Zero Dawn, at least. That's really good.
Oh, God, that was all of my second half of last year. And then this year, it's playing Doom 2016 as well. Those are the two that I'm going through at the same time.
So you're
going
to get Doom Eternal as well?
Yeah.
Excellent stuff.
I mean, I've done Uncharted, BioShock. I might do Uncharted 2, and I've played that one. But just April, I can't speak. March, April, they're good games, but come on, May.
May?
Come on.
What, for The Last of Us?
Yeah. I've got tunnel vision. Even over Resident Evil, I've got tunnel vision. I need that game.
I can't explain, Ash with Cyberpunk, the idea that I could have been playing The Last of Us Part 2 this weekend had it not been delayed is something that I can't quite get away with, even though, you shouldn't get angry over delays, and delays always make games better, but at the same time, I can't help but think about what if.
I was reminded of that because I just finished watching Troy Baker and the North play The Last of Us, and that was obviously that finished last night. They got a bonus episode coming. But I was like, oh, we could have had it now, and then we could have had Cyberpunk a little bit after. But now we're going to get Cyberpunk and Avengers all just before the new consoles, and what's the point?
Well, it's funny because everything was smashed in March and April, and now they've all moved to September.
July's a month you can put things out in.
Please, summer's fine. Not everyone goes out. It's probably going to be raining in the UK anyway. I need games to play.
We've got to watch the cinemas in July. That's it. At least they're thoughtful. They've balanced the year.
I have blackout curtains for a reason.
Well, I guess that's it for today. Sorry if we couldn't get to your questions, but please keep sending them through because, you know, we love to read them and we will try to answer them on future podcasts. We're going to try to make this a sort of semi-regular thing where we try to answer as much as possible because you just love the engagement. Either way, could you give us, not a like, share, subscribe because we're not on YouTube. Could you head over to Acast or Spotify or iTunes or wherever you find this podcast and check out the previous episodes? And as always, stay tuned for more, even if you don't thought I've been Josh, joined today by Ash Millman.
Hello and goodbye.
And Ben Roy Turner.
Goodbye there.
We will see you soon. Bye.
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 Bye bye.
Colin Salmon.
Oh my God, he's back.
Wait, you didn't mention Colin Salmon?
I know. Phil Spencer, though.
Put a compliment in quick.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.